Hello, hello, my friends. I am Jenny Lin, and this is my show. I am a wife and mom of two crazy kiddos. I have struggled many years with chronic illness and pain. I have a passion to find out as much as I can while navigating through life not always feeling 100%. I have realized that having a positive mindset is a must in today's crazy world. You deserve to live this life showing up as your best self, and I can help you get there. If you've been feeling lost after becoming a mom, you're not alone. I know that incredible woman is still in there, just begging to be found. I am here to create a safe, non-judgmental space for like-minded women. Let's empower each other. I am so happy you're here. Now, let's jump into the 123 Mom Squad podcast with me, Jenny Lin. And hello, my friends. Welcome back. It's Jenny Lin with the 123 Mom Squad podcast. I'm so glad you're here and tuning into another amazing episode. Today, I am back with a guest. And today's guest is Amy Stein. She is an herbalist, energy medicine educator, PAWS trauma-informed breathwork facilitator. Her mission is to educate and empower those who are struggling with their health on how to reconnect their body's innate intelligence using Mother Nature as a guide. She finds that when we awaken to our inner light and wisdom, we can sync the mind with the body and spirit. Amy combines the power of the plants, along with energy medicine techniques and breathwork, to allow you to live in harmony in your body and environment as your authentic self. If you've ever wanted to know more about plant medicine and how we can adapt plants into our everyday life, today's episode is going to be very enlightening for you. She goes over a ton of information in regards to how we can help get these plants into our everyday lives and help get those everyday toxins out of our bodies and how to just help us feel better from the inside out. I really hope that you enjoy this episode. And as always, thank you for tuning in. And if you find that this episode has helped you, and if you think that it could help anybody else that you know, please feel free to share it. Without further ado, here we go. Hi, good afternoon, Amy.
Hey, Jenny, how are you?
I am great. It's so nice to see your smiling face again on this lovely Valentine's Day Tuesday. It is Tuesday, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that for a minute. But thank you so much for coming on and joining me. I can't wait to get into all of this plant-based medicine and herbs and everything that you're going to help fill my audience in with. And I think that it's going to be a very beneficial episode, and I can't wait to dive in. So why don't you start by telling us who you are, where you're from, a little bit about yourself, how you started, and ultimately where you are today and how you're helping people.
Great. So my name is Amy. I also live in New York, but I live downstate on Long Island. And the way that I came to be doing what I'm doing now is I was a medical researcher working with chronic pain patients at a big university. And I began to resemble my patients. And I was like, oh, what's going on here? This is a little strange. And so growing up, I always had these messages from my body that were symptoms, right? So I didn't know what was wrong. I was always having headaches and stomach aches and these sensations of not wanting to go certain places, not wanting to be around certain people, not wanting to eat certain food or wear certain clothing. And so we didn't really understand what that was. It just was always coming up in certain ways. And it made it so that I was labeled as different. I was the kid that didn't fit in. I experienced all these things that other kids weren't talking about. And so I felt really alone because when I would talk to people about it, they looked at me like, what's wrong with you? That's crazy. Like, why can't you eat that food? As you know. And so my parents would take me to the doctor because I was having a lot of symptoms in my body, and they would run the traditional test and nothing was wrong. And so now I know that the body has an intelligence that it will pick up things that are going on that are wrong in the imbalance of the system before lab work will pick it up. But that's not something that was discussed or talked about. It's still not really discussed or talked about. So I always want to mention it to people to let them know that the symptoms that your body is telling you are important. It's not to make your life difficult. It's to let you know that there's something wrong. And so as these symptoms were escalating throughout my adult life, and I was, as a medical researcher, trying to help other people with chronic pain, and then I was experiencing chronic pain at the same extent as my geriatric patients, I thought there's something wrong here. Like, there's something that needs to be looked at. And so I went down the traditional route of Western medicine of you go to all the doctors, they look at all, they look at you, they run all the tests, they do the blood work, and they give you a pill, right? They give you a medication and they tell you to come back when it gets worse. And so even though I was used to this paradigm of being in this world and working with patients who are like this, it did not feel right for me. I was that person as a kid who had the 1% of symptoms to medications. So it wasn't something that I wanted to do. And it didn't feel right to me. But in our society, we're not taught to listen to that little voice that is telling us something, right? We're taught to listen to the mind, to be logical, not to honor the intuition. And so I didn't know what to do. I didn't go to medical school, right? But I was taught to go to the doctor. When you're broken, you go to the doctor, they fix you. And so I was on this merry-go-round of seeing all these doctors. No one was talking to each other. My symptoms were getting worse to the point that I was bedridden. I couldn't leave the house. I had daily migraines, daily vertigo. I was not able to like form sentences. I had severe GI issues, and it just escalated from there. And even though I was compliant and did what the doctor said, the medications made it worse. And so I was on this merry-go-round for about 2 years, 2 to 3 years. And then it got to the point where I said, enough is enough. They're just guinea pigging me. They don't know what's wrong with me. Everyone has a different name for what I have because I wasn't fitting into the boxes. And so other people who can relate to this may also be empathic or highly sensitive. And so we're like the canaries in the coal mines. We're that first wave of humans who will be sensitive to external stimuli, to other variables that other people are not aware of. They're not in tune with the body the same way. And so it's a trait that you're born with, but no one really talks about it. It's been talked about more so now, but I'm a child of the 80s. Nobody talks about that. They just labeled me as you're too sensitive. You need to grow a thicker skin. You're different. You don't want to be different. You want to fit in. And so it was really scary to me to have these symptoms as a kid and not know what it was. And so I tried to push it down. So I'll just ignore it. I'll pretend it doesn't exist. And so what happens is that creates trauma in the body. Because when we don't deal with our feelings or our sensations, it creates trauma on the level of energy cannot move, right? So everybody is energy. Your energy, I'm energy, the desks we're sitting at, the house we're in, like everything in the world is energy. And just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, right? So this idea of I was feeling all these things, but I was taught like, oh, you can't see it. It doesn't exist. It's not real. And I was taught it's all in your head. You're making things up. You're trying to get attention. And so this whole trajectory started throughout my childhood, as early as I can remember, followed me through adulthood, and it was never believed. I was never, no one took it seriously and no one talked about it. And so when it got to the point where I was done with Western medicine, because I was so sick, I was so frustrated, I was so much in debilitating pain, I couldn't think, there was nothing that was working. I decided to that I would guinea pig myself. And so the first part of that was I began to explore plant medicine. And what's interesting is that the universe will give you signs when you're on the right track, right? So when I was on the track of seeing all the doctors, and again, I live in New York, so I have access to adequate, if not more than adequate, healthcare. But because no one was talking to each other, and then you go to a doctor for one thing, right? So if I have GI issues, I go to the GI doctor. If I have neurology issues, I go to the neurologist, right? And it goes on from there. No one was looking at the whole picture. But plant medicine will look at the whole picture, just like Ayurveda, just like traditional Chinese medicine. So I began to understand looking at the body as a whole, not as this disjointed piece. Because in our society, we're taught like the body and the mind is separate, but it's not. It's all together. And actually, the body has more innate intelligence than the mind. We're just not taught that. So when I was studying more in plant medicine, I could understand and I didn't really believe it still. Like, it was still kind of weird to me because I was a scientist and I'm like, oh, this is what is this stuff with like plants and using plants? Like, I was taught medication, right? So it kind of seemed really weird to me. But I thought I really have nothing to lose because I've done all the things and I've only gotten sicker and I have no quality of life and I've lost all my friends and my marriage is on the rocks. And like, literally, I'm at death's door. Like, I'm desperate. I'll try anything, right? So I began to explore plant medicine, and then the universe would give me signs. So it would send me an email about, hey, there's this herbalism training. hey, there's this herbalism workshop. Hey, there's this, aromatherapy class, whatever it was, right? And it was just all leading me in that direction. And then it was, hey, this new book by this herbalist came out. Maybe you want to check it out, right? It would come up on my Goodreads or something. And so I was still able to read a lot of books, and I used the library because it was free, right? And I was on a budget. So at that point, I had already cut out a lot of foods. I had cut out all the chemicals that I could in my household. And I began to make my own plant medicine because it was affordable to do it that way, where to buy a tincture, it was $40 to buy a 1 ounce tincture, but I can make a whole quart size of a tincture for the same price. So I began to research the plants that I was already growing on my property. And I was really surprised that most of them had the properties that I needed to rebalance my body. So all plants have medicinal properties. And what was even more crazy to me was the things that people call weeds actually were more beneficial for all the issues I had than the plants I was already cultivating. So I began to eat my weeds. And people were like, "You're crazy. Why are you eating the weeds?" I'm like, "Listen, the weeds have so much nutrition and they will rebalance me in the way that my body needs." And so it's not, so people can get into the trap with plant medicine of a this for that, just like with Western medicine. I have a headache, so I'll take the Advil, right? It doesn't work like that. It does, you have to respect the intelligence that exists in the plant as well as the intelligence that exists in your body. So each plant has a different constitutional makeup, and your body as an individual, each one has a different constitutional makeup. So you have to find the plant that's going to bring you back into balance. And that's all the body is trying to do when it's sending you these symptoms, is to bring you back into balance. It was designed to heal. We get in the way of it, right? We interfere with the process thinking we know better. And throwing chemicals at it and medications, it just brings it more out of balance and it just causes more stress to the body. And so this idea of I could take my power back and I could grow my own medicine and I could get relief by doing things that I could control in my own backyard was crazy to me. I'm like, this is revolutionary. Why is nobody talking about this? Right? So it was this idea of using the power of the plants to bring me back into alignment, but also to connect me to something that was bigger than me. Because when we're sick and we don't feel good and we're in chronic pain and everything feels like it's falling apart, you really don't know where to turn to, right? Like we're taught to turn to the doctor, but if the doctor's not helping you, then what? Right? Like it's this very frustrating, it's a very disempowering feeling, and it can make a lot of your symptoms worse because it's like this constant monkey mind of what do I do now? Well, this isn't working. What do I do now? Right. So it's like this manic healing of all in your head. And so it allowed me to see that there was something bigger than me that existed. I didn't plan all this. I didn't create the birds. I didn't control Mother Nature's weather. I could feel it in my body when the weather was going to change, but I had no control over any of that. So it actually allowed me to release some of the control around my own healing. It allowed me to surrender to something that was bigger than me. And just to wonder, like, how can I relate myself into something that exists that's bigger than me that I have no control over? How can I, work in a way that brings balance back to my own body? So then I began working with the moon cycles. I began to watch what Mother Nature was doing, right? So like you and I are in wintertime right now, it's a time for rest. And so normally, like, so we're both blessed with a sunny day today, but normally it's cold and it's gray and it's dreary. And it looks like nothing is happening, but we know that there are things happening. There's mycelium, there's mushrooms that are growing underneath the ground. The trees, the roots are talking to each other. There are seeds that are getting ready to germinate. There's worms underneath in the ground. There's positive microbes and positive bacteria working the earth. We're just not aware of that because we don't see it and we're taught not to appreciate it, but it all exists. And so the more I understood that and the more I could work with it rather than against it, my body began to heal. And it wasn't like a one and done, right? Like, hey, I started growing my own food, which I had already been doing. So I was growing my own medicine and everything got better. It didn't, because healing is not one and done. It's not a quick fix. It is a lifelong journey. And it's a journey of unlearning. So I had to unlearn a lot of things that I thought were real, right? So we grew up in this idea of this belief system, you know, the doctor knows best. Your body is broken. You need to look outside of yourself to heal yourself. You need to look outside of yourself for the answers. So it made me question all of these ideas, these beliefs that I grew up with. Did they feel right to me anymore? Did they work for me? Was it really true? And so when we do that, we begin to question like the status quo, right? So just because someone told you to go this way because this is what you have or this is what you're struggling with doesn't mean it's going to work, right? And so same thing is like we're all unique, we're all individual, and just like the plants, we all react in a different way. So I could grow something here and it grows well. And I could tell Jenny to grow the same thing. And because she's a little bit higher in altitude and elevation, it's not going to grow at all. That doesn't mean the plant is broken. It just means it's not the right environment for it, right? So when you can kind of like reframe your perspective and be open to these new ideas, it allows you to be curious about your own healing. And that was something that I found really helpful.
I think that when it comes to anybody who has a chronic illness journey, that being open to anything that's new is extremely important because, yeah, I mean, the minute we're born, we're taught that doctors know how to fix us. When the truth of the matter is that they only know how to mask what it is. I mean, yeah, they may help us feel better, but that's just temporary. That's not really getting to the root of why it is that we're feeling whatever it is that we're feeling. And I listened to a podcast the other day that mentioned, what if we were, when we were born, their plant medicine was the first thing that we, you know, learned education-wise on how to heal and take care of our bodies. And then secondarily, you know, decades later comes this, you know, world of medicine and pharmaceuticals. And then it's, you know, then we're like, oh my God, why would we want to put these chemicals in our body? So it feels like all of it's like whatever the first thing that we hear here when we grow up, whatever. It's always like whatever you think of first, you always go back to that because all of a sudden, the first time you hear something, you think that that's the right way of the perception of looking at something. So we need to, like you said, like unlearn these behaviors and thoughts that were so, you know, ingrained in our mind as we age. And we really need to be open to trying something new because, I mean, if you have a chronic illness and you're here and you're listening to these podcasts, you obviously want some new information. So it's awesome that you are exploring new ideas and how to heal your body and hoping that you can really, really take the time to do some research and try some of these other modalities that may help you. I mean, some may be for you and some may not. But just being open to it is a whole new way of looking at, you know, how your body can actually perform and optimally, you know, be healthy for the rest of your life. And but like you said, it's not like a one and done. It is a practice. I think anything that comes to our health, you know, diet, lifestyle, nutrition, all of that, you can't eat healthy for 1 week and expect your body to be, you know, running at its best and performing the way that you think in your mind. It's just not going to work that way. I wish it would. I totally wish it would, right? But that's just not the case. So, all right. So tell me, how did you or how do you even start when it comes to plant medicine? So there's so many different questions. So let's just start with headaches. Everybody gets a headache. What's the best, I guess, where would you start with that? What do you suggest somebody does when they're experiencing a headache?
Let's take a quick break.
Welcome to the Alchemy of Natural Healing. I'm your host, Laurel Dewey. True healing is an alchemical process, meaning it must transform you on all levels, body, mind, and spirit. What affects one affects all three. True healing is one of the hardest journeys you'll ever travel, but it's one of the most rewarding and fulfilling when you get to meet yourself for the first time. If you're ready to take that journey, Let's get started.
So rather than falling into the trap of like Western medicine that use this plant for this condition, I'm going to talk about all the things that you can do that you're probably not doing. So my first suggestion to anybody I work with is to examine the toxins that you're exposed to, because anything that you're breathing or exposed to is going to cause issues in your brain, right? So if you are using room fresheners or candles or using toxic laundry detergent, right? Like Tide Free and Clear is not a healthy alternative. It's still got a lot of stuff in it. So you can go to the Environmental Working Group. It's EWG.org, and you can type in your products and see where they compare, like how dirty they are. You can also check up the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. Those lists are updated every single year by the Environmental Working Group. And so that basically will tell you what produce you can buy dirty, so conventional raised, right? Because it's sprayed with toxins. It could be a genetically modified produce. So you don't even think about it. Like if there's so many levels of it, and then the Dirty Dozen is what you never want to buy conventionally. You only want to buy organics. That's your greens, that's your berries, that's grapes. Those are things that don't have a thick skin and they absorb more toxins, right? Mm-hmm. So it's also like the cleaning products, like I mentioned, but also your personal care products. So if you think about it as women, so I don't wear makeup, but I wore makeup, you know, think of all the things you put on a day before you even leave the house, if you leave the house, right? So you're going to do shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste, moisturizer, mascara, lipstick, whatever. If you're not using non-toxic ingredients, I think the statistics is like your women on average are exposed to 150 chemicals before they leave their house, just by what they choose to put on their body. Your skin is your largest organ. So if you're experiencing neurological issues, it could be toxins. It can be, you know, the body is a complex system. It is not just a, hey, this is what it is. This is the quick fix, like I said. But when we add more toxic overload to the body cannot function. So the body was designed to heal, but it was not designed to live in the toxic world that we live in. It was not designed to deal with false electromagnetic frequencies, you know, from 5G, from smartphones, from your Roku, from your Wi-Fi router. Like it wasn't prepared for that. It wasn't prepared to be on a screen 24/7. The brain needs to rest. It should not be on a screen all day. It should not have blue light in the bedroom. It affects your melatonin levels, but also melatonin is affected by a lot of different things in the environment. So there are so many reasons why someone could have a headache, right? But there are so many things that you can do that no one tells you that are within your power to decrease your toxin level. So that's always my first suggestion to people, is to examine what toxins you're using. And the Environmental Working Group is a great site to go, because you can check and see how dirty your products are. And then they will give you suggestions on clean products to buy. So when you run out of that moisturizer, go to the Environmental Working Group and see which one they're verified as being a really clean, safe product, and buy that product. So when I did it, you know, 12 years ago, there was no clean products really on the market. And if there were, they were really expensive. So I just made everything myself that I could, because I didn't want to be putting toxins on my body. So it's also what you're ingesting, and that's visual ingestion as well as food. So a lot of people are not eating real food, right? So like I only eat things that grow. So whether that's pasture-raised animals or organic vegetables, what I can get, right? And I grow my own vegetables in season, and I grow my own medicine. So you can just start with an herb garden. And a lot of the herbs that we take for granted all have really strong medicinal properties. They're antimicrobial, they're antiviral, they're antibacterial. So just by ingesting these plants, you're actually supporting your immune system. So it's looking at ways to support the body rather than to tax the body, right? So like you can also be having a headache because of the screens. You could be having a headache because what you're exposed to with toxins, what you're breathing, the air you're breathing, the water you're drinking, the food you're eating, but also just from stress of like, what are you visually ingesting? I don't watch the news. I limit social media to like 10 to 15 minutes a day because it's all my body can handle, right? Because we're already in a hypervigilant state. And so the more you stress your body out, the more symptoms, you know, quote unquote symptoms, but it's really messages from the body. This does not work for me. You need to change this. And when you don't change it, the body's messages get louder. But we're taught not to honor those messages. We're taught that they're wrong. We have to put the body in submission, take the Advil, take the Tylenol, you know, whatever you want to call it, right? But it creates even more of a stressor on the body. So then the body sends up more flags. Now you have stomach aches, right? But we take all this for granted, that this is normal. I eat the pizza, I have a stomach ache. That's just what happens. I eat the yogurt, I have a stomach ache. That's just what happens, right? But that's not normal. That's not supposed to happen. Your body is telling you that it doesn't agree with that food, right? Or it doesn't agree with that activity, or it doesn't agree with that toxin, you know, what have you. It can be so pervasive. And so that's always my first suggestion to people is rather than, hey, take this essential oil, eat this plant, it's how can I clean up my environment? And then when we clean up the outer environment, the body is less stressed, and then we can be more aware of the messages that it's sending and how that affects my inner environment. So if I'm not getting good sleep, my body's not healing because the body is healing at night. So if you're not in bed by 10 o'clock sleeping, you've already cut down the window that it can heal. From 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. is when that body is doing like massive amounts of healing. It's doing glyphatic draining, which is the lymph system in the brain. It's getting rid of all of your toxins. It's preparing you to purge in the morning when you wake up. But if you're shutting that window down or not even in that window, the body has no time to heal. And so it's kind of like on this perpetual catch up, which creates another level of stress, another level of trauma to the body. And so when this adds up, they say your bucket is full, right? It's overflowing. Then you're kind of like, it's a little too late. What do you do now? Now everything is going off. All the alarm bells are going off. There's flags everywhere, right? And it feels really overwhelming. And by that point, you may have markers on the blood work. But the body was trying to get your attention long before it was screaming at you, when it was giving you the nudges, the whispers. But because in our society, we're so disconnected from the body, we live only in the head, like neck up, right? Like nothing, everything else is dead. It's numb. We're not going to pay attention to it. But when we connect the mind and the body together, and I argue the spirit, because if you don't have the three connected, you cannot heal. And so when we allow the curiosity to come in and say, what could we do to support ourselves in this process, right? So even just if you start an herb garden, right? So just if you start five plants, parsley, dill, basil, rosemary, thyme, you could have that on a windowsill. You could have it in a, you know, a small vertical container on your patio. You would save so much money and you would use it more because you have it right outside the back door, right in the kitchen, right? So you then every day you're giving your body nutrition in organic herbs. You're giving your body these antiviral, antibacterial, antimicrobial properties, which are supporting the inner terrain. So the inner terrain is the whole gut system, and it's, you know, it's your immune system, it's the gut, it's everything in there. And so if you have a lot of imbalance, a lot of bad bacteria, if you have candida overgrowth, if you have parasite overload, if you have heavy metals, like there, I could go on and on and on, but I'm not going to, the inner terrain is out of balance. And so you'll get sick more, you'll have more symptoms, you won't digest properly, you'll have more body pain. Like it's all connected, but because nobody puts the pieces together when they're sick and they're seeing the doctors that are certainly not putting the pieces together. And even if you go to see a functional doctor there who looks at the whole body, they're not going to be schooled in every single thing that comes up. So, and they're going to have their own protocol and they're going to say, this is what I've done that works with people, right? I don't work like that because, you know, been there, done that. No, it doesn't work. So I offer suggestions of these are the things I suggest that you do that I think for everybody, regardless if they're having symptoms, are good ideas, right? But then it's an individual approach of how can we get it that you feel safe to be in the body again? Because if you don't feel safe to be in the body, you can't heal. So the body is really smart that way. Like it knows if you're bullshitting it. So, you know, you're saying your affirmations, you're doing your manic healing, maybe you're doing a neuroplasticity process, you're trying to rewire your brain, which I did, right? You're doing all the things, but it's not working. Because if you're still like only living from the neck up, the body knows and it's like, you're not ready. You're not in the body. You're not in the entire process. And so if you don't have this skill set and feel supported and feel safe to be in the body, you will not achieve full healing. And again, I speak from experience. Like, I tried to manic my healing for years, doing all of the different things, and it did not work. And I was like, I don't understand. Why do I have these ups and downs, these plateaus? They're so high, they're so low, and I'm just bottoming out. Like, what's going on? It's because I did not feel safe to be in my body, because for so long I had this script of, you're too sensitive, you're different, this is bad, you want to be like this. And because I was ignoring what I was supposed to really be doing, who I was supposed to really be, I just kept denying being in my body because it didn't feel good. It hurt. There was a lot of messages. I didn't want to feel them. And we're taught to do that in our society. Numb out, right? Binge on social media, binge Netflix, binge Chunky Monkey ice cream. You know, escape from your life because it's too painful. It's too hard. You know, life is hard. That it's not easy. And it's for a reason, because you're here to learn. You're here to learn about who you're supposed to be, right? Like, we all came here with a purpose of who we're supposed to be. But when you choose to numb out, you cannot, either you're not feeling the feelings, you're not feeling the sensations. But if we stop to actually feel the feelings and feel the sensations, they move a lot quicker. And it doesn't create stuck energy. It doesn't create trauma in the body. So it's having that person to support you, to say, I've got you. I know what this feels like. Yeah, it sucks. It's not good, but it's going to pass. And this, right. These are the things that you can do to ease yourself through it, right? And then you can look back and be like, hey, I survived that. And the body's like, good job. Because again, the body's also designed to keep you safe. So all of the things it does, it's just to keep you safe. So when you try to break a habit and it doesn't work and then you give up, it's because the body fears it as danger. Like, oh, you're dieting? We're starving. So it holds on to the weight, right? Oh, you can't do that. We're going to die. So we're going to just hold on to this weight until you eat, you'll feed us again. So it's this whole balance. The body is in this really delicate balance, but we're not taught about this. So when you can begin to understand how the body works, and again, sometimes it speaks another language and you have to learn how to speak that language, but it's like you said, it's a practice. It's sticking with it. Understanding that it's not going to be easy, but that I'm not going to quit. I can do hard things, right? Glennon Doyle says we can do hard things. And so healing is a hard thing. It is not easy. It's not one and done. There is no magic pill. There is no magic wand, but it can happen. It's a constant ongoing practice that every day I'm aware of what's happening, what's coming up, what messages my body is giving me. And Kim Duramo, who's a big energy medicine practitioner, she'll say, what's right about this I'm not getting? So it's taking the judgment and the expectation out and allowing curiosity in. How could this look different? How could I do this differently, right? But it's in small, manageable steps, because we don't want to overwhelm the body, because the body is already really overwhelmed. So it's taking small steps and celebrating those small wins. Hey, I switched laundry soaps this month. That's a small win, but it makes a big impact, because you're not breathing toxic laundry soap the whole time you're sleeping. You know, I shut off my Wi-Fi router at night. I put on a Christmas timer. It goes off at 10 o'clock every night. So you're not getting radiated 24/7, right? If you're sleeping, what do you need your Wi-Fi on for? And if your kids are on it, they're not getting sleep. And so it's disruptive to everybody. You know, I took the TV out of my bedroom so I don't have blue light. You know, I started a bedtime routine. Like, there are so many things that you can do in small, manageable steps that don't feel so overwhelming. But if we try to do it all at once, like I did it, which I don't advocate for you to do, but I was desperate, right? So I don't ever tell people to do it the way I did it. So what's this one first step we can do that seems manageable, right? So it's an individual approach of what feels good to you? What is your intuition telling you? Your gut instinct? There's a reason that saying, that phrase exists, because in, you know, tribal societies, thousands of years ago, everyone did plant medicine. You know, they followed the seasons. They followed the moon. That was normal. But in our society, there is no more ritual. And even there is no idea of trusting Mother Nature, right? Mother Nature is something that we have to beat down. We have to poison. We have to harm. But you're harming yourself. Because without her, you're not going to survive. So it's this understanding of, like I said, the unlearning, but also being open to what could be different. How could I view this differently in a way that feels okay to me, that feels safe? Because if it doesn't feel safe, the body will shut you down and it will sabotage you to keep you safe, because its whole idea is for you to survive. That's what it was designed to do, to keep you living.
It's true. I do think that taking, you know, little changes here and there will add up to, you know, big differences within your life. And like you said, I'm all about trying to celebrate small wins, because I think it's very important when you do make a change like that, you know, that is something that is different. And so even if you're not doing it for yourself, which you should be, or you're doing it for your family or your loved ones, I mean, that's a good thing and a good change to adapt, even if, I mean, if you have children in your lives, you know, so that they are aware also of what it is and what's going on around them and what they are putting in and around or on their body. I think it's a good practice for everybody to see. But yeah, little changes. And I mean, the most important thing I think with taking on any new health modality is consistency. You know, you really, you have to really be consistent with it, you know, focus and remember why you started. Remember that you don't want to feel like this every single day when you wake up. You know, you want to feel better and you can, but you have to put in the work. There's nobody that's going to, people are there like us to hold your hand and keep you accountable and give you that support, but we can't do it for you and nobody's going to do it for you. So you have to be able to really, you know, say, hey, listen, I'm done living this crappy life that I've been living for so many years. And I'm ready to step into a new way of healing and thinking. And it's all connected. Like you said, mind, body, spirit, soul, we are just a ball of energy. I mean, when we die, that energy just leaves our body and it's just, we're just a body. So I mean, you really do look at things a lot differently, I think, when you become aware of all of this, all of these things and all of these new ways of thinking and everything. So we have a few more minutes. I want to talk about, I know you did some homework for me to talk about herbs and stuff. So let's help people. If they want to start doing this, where do they start? What can they do? I know you mentioned the five herbs that we can put on our windowsill. I think I missed one. Parsley, rosemary, basil, thyme, and which one? Was it oregano?
You could do mint. You could do oregano. You could mint. You could do thyme. You could do sage.
Sage. I think maybe that's the one I missed. Okay. So now what do we do with them? I mean, what do we do? Tell me what we do with them.
So you use them in ways, just in cooking, right? Like just naturally, like, hey, I'm making a pot of sauce. What do I have on my windowsill? I have basil. I have thyme. I have oregano. I have rosemary. I'm going to throw it in my sauce, right? Or it would probably not taste good, but you could throw it in soups. Not, I was saying put in a smoothie, but it wouldn't. Peppermint would taste good in a smoothie, but the others, not so much, right? But you know, you're making a soup. So rather than using the old decrepit spices in your cabinet that are probably like 5 years old, right? You're using something fresh, so it's viable, it's alive, it has energy to it, and so it has higher nutrition. You can also grow these in your whatever your growing season is, and many of them will be perennial. So sage will come back, and sage is medicinal in that you can use it for cleansing. You can cleanse the energy of your home or your yard. You can burn the sage. That's an indigenous medicine. But you can also, it's good for digestion. It's good for mouth stuff. So like you can make a mouthwash with it. I do that. With sage, yeah. You can make a mouthwash. You can soak it in apple cider vinegar for, I don't know, 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, and use it as a mouthwash. Because let me tell you, Listerine is not good for you. Do not use Listerine or any of the other, you know, commercial mouthwashes. They're filled with chemicals and they're actually affecting the microbiome of your mouth. And so it's all connected. The mouth is connected to the gut. The gut is, you know, where your immune system lives. So you don't want to be putting chemicals in your mouth that are going to kill the good bacteria along with the supposed bad bacteria. There needs to be a healthy balance, and your body knows what that healthy balance is. It's, again, we get in the way of that. But you could plant lavender. Lavender is great for stress, headaches, anxiety, sleep, calming. You can make a lavender bath. So what, a lot of times, you can make a lot. Some people don't like the taste of lavender in their tea, but yeah, you can make a tea from it. You can also infuse them in oils and you can massage oil. I make them into balms. So I add beeswax and then I make medicinal herbal blends for certain, you know, certain conditions I had, and I share them with family and friends. And I started an Etsy shop. So I now share them with everybody. But you can use, you know, peppermint is great for cooling. So if you're, you know, if you're feeling really hot, drink some peppermint tea in the summertime. You could just add a few leaves to your water. Thyme is antiviral. It supports the respiratory system. It's great for sore throats. So I actually, yesterday I made like all different tea blends because I went through all of my herbs that I wildcraft, which means to like harvest in the wild, but it's, you know, my backyard that grows. And then the things I cultivate, I went through to see what I had because you have to use them up in a certain amount of time. They're not, you know, they're not shelf stable forever. They were alive. But when you dry them properly, you keep the medicinal benefits in them. But for the most part, I make tinctures because it keeps the medicine alive longer, because tinctures can be shelf stable for about 10 years. And you could put them, you can make an oxymel, which is, you know, four thieves vinegar. That would be fire cider. All that is a combination of apple cider vinegar and honey mixed with herbs. So first you put the herbs in the apple cider vinegar. It sits for 4 to 6 weeks. So just like a tincture, the apple cider vinegar or the vodka or the alcohol pulls the medicine, the energetic components out of the plants. You strain the plants out after 6 weeks, and then you have all the medicine in that liquid. So if you have, you know, I don't really drink at all. I can't really metabolize alcohol at all. So I make a lot of things in apple cider vinegar because there's no alcohol. And then you add honey to it, and it creates a whole nother level of healing because honey has so many positive benefits as well. You want to make sure you're using raw honey. If you can get local, that'd be better. Again, with organic apple cider vinegar, because apple's one of the dirty dozens. So it's, again, being mindful. I have these plants growing, or I'm going to plant these plants. What are the ways I could use them that will be beneficial to me, right? So you could, chives are also perennial. So chives you can use on salads. Again, you could season them for soups or what have you, right? It's just using what you have. But again, there's a lot of weeds that grow that people don't understand. If you don't put any chemicals down and it's a clean area of your lawn, meaning there's no animals that are excreting on it, you can harvest that and use those. So we're coming up on spring. A lot of the spring plants that are wildly growing as weeds are beneficial to the livers, the kidneys, and like the drainage system, the lymph. Because in traditional Chinese medicine, spring is a time of cleansing, right? So people do detoxes. I don't advocate for that. I advocate for you can use plants to help you rebalance. It's not about necessarily detoxing. It's about rebalancing and bringing the body back into balance in a way that is natural and effective and not overwhelming, right? So I'm not going to tell you to go do a juice cleanse. That's not natural. It's not effective. It's not balancing. It's very harsh on the body. So again, it's working with the body to appreciate the wisdom that it has. You could grow lemon balm. That's also could be perennial. And the plants that I'm naming are plants that you can go and get at big box stores when the weather warms up, right? Like these are plants that you can get at your Walmart, your Home Depot, your Lowe's. I'm not going to advocate for you to do that, but you could do that, right? So that's what makes it easy. You could do it. It's easy, accessible. Lemon balm is great. It's an antiviral. Again, it's calming. It's also soothing for the GI system. So if you have tummy aches, you could put some lemon balm and some honey and you'll have a medicinal honey, right? You could also do rosemary. That's great for brain health. So for concentration. And some people that can be a perennial for them. For me, it's not. But people that are further south than us, that would come back. Basil is not a perennial. It's a warm weather crop, so you have to wait till after all your frosts to plant that. But there's so many different varieties. So you could do Tulsi, which is holy basil. I use that a lot in teas. I drink it every day practically. I really like the taste of it and the smell of it. So it's also, rather than just going and getting all these plants I'm listing, what do I eat? What would accent what I already eat? What feels good to me? So it's being mindful of how would this work for me, right? So I'm not going to say go out and buy all these 12 plants and then just ignore them. That would defeat the whole purpose. It's bringing things into your life in a way that reconnects you back to Mother Earth and her innate intelligence that is also mirrored in us, but in a way that also supports the body, because the body does not recognize pharmaceuticals. It just creates more stress to the body, but it does recognize plants. So when you ingest more plants, when you ingest more medicinal herbs, your weeds, you know, you need to be able to forage properly. So you can do a foraging class. You can get a book. There are guides. You know, I have the Northeast one because Jenny and I live in New York. So you can go to classes. It's just being mindful of what you're foraging, because there are poisonous lookalikes. So you want to be with somebody who knows what they're doing. So there are a lot of ways that you can bring your access to Mother Nature easily into your life. You can put more plants, indoor plants, inside your house. They'll clean the air. You know, also will make you feel better. They also help mitigate electromagnetic frequencies that are artificial. You could bring crystals and rocks in that feel good to you. So if crystals are your thing, bring in some crystals. If you like essential oils, you know, get some high quality essential oils. Plant Therapy has an organic line. I use them. It's about educating yourself and empowering yourself to take your own healing into your own hands, because we all have the ability to heal ourselves. It's finding the way that works best for you.
I completely agree with that. Well said, Amy. I love it. So much information. And I think that there's so much goodness around all of that and everything, you know, plant-based. I need to adopt more of it into my daily life, because I don't yet, but I have all of our notes, and you gave me some awesome suggestions on where I can get things like the tower systems and the grow bags and, you know, all of that. So, all right. Well, as we wrap up, I have just a couple of questions for you. Nothing crazy, but I would like for you to share one thing about yourself that people may not know about you.
I guess the one thing that people wouldn't know about me is I'm really a homebody. So I give off this energy of like, oh, I talk to everybody and all these things. I really like my alone time. And I'm really much a homebody. I really don't like to go out a lot. Like I kind of am good just staying home, reading a book, spending time with the animals. Like I'm okay with that.
Okay.
So that might be surprising to people, since I give out this really big outward personality, that I really just like to be by myself a lot and I need a lot of alone time to decompress and to process everything that I'm constantly around. So a lot of highly sensitive people are like that. They need a lot of alone time to process and to reground. And I'm constantly always learning something new about myself and about the world around me.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love to be home too. Sometimes it's too people-y out there. So, yeah, right. And then one more thing. What is one piece of advice that you kind of always go back to? Is there something you learned growing up or a special quote that you kind of, you know, like stem back to in certain situations?
Yeah. So I said it in the interview, we can do hard things. Right, so we don't give ourselves enough credit, but Glennon Doyle's quote of "we can do hard things" really resonated with me when I read it, I don't know, 8-9 years ago, and that you're not broken. So a lot of times, you know, I can still, again, I'm human. I can fall into that trap of like, oh, all these things are happening, I'm broken again, right? But you're not broken. The system is broken. The belief system is broken. The medical system is broken. You're not broken. Your body isn't broken.
So true. All right, Amy. Well, I really appreciate all of your, you know, wisdom that you shared with us. It's really fascinating that, you know, we can really try to heal ourselves from the world around us. And I think we all need to try to appreciate Mother Nature a little bit more and let it help our body, as that's how we were grown in nature and everything. So I do think it's important. Now you have a free gift to share with the audience. You want to just talk about that real quick?
Yeah. So it's an ebook on 5 ways to avoid overwhelm, but also those ways also connect you to your inner knowing, your intuition, because we're taught not to connect that way in our society. So those are 5 tips that you can, that are easy to introduce into your daily life, and you can get quick wins with them. And you can also grow the connection you have to your intuition so that you can get back on the right path, or be open to the nudges and believe that they're real, even if you can't see them.
Right. Yes. And where can everybody find you?
They can go to my website. It's mindbodyspiritbreath.com.
All right. And you also have a YouTube channel, right?
I do. Amy, the Amateur Herbalist.
Awesome. So you've got lots of ways to contact you and more information out there for everybody to know more. And again, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. And I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too, Jenny.
All right. Take care. Thank you all for being here. I am so glad we found each other. See you next time. Have an incredible day, my beautiful friends.